there's five that we're expecting. And
There's five
then
that
there
we're
were,
expecting, exactly.
and then there's five that were just existing.
Oh boy, say that
Right?
again for those in the
Yeah,
back.
there's five that we're expecting, then there were five that were just existing. In
Man.
this life that we have, there's a lot of people who are just existing in this Christendom, if you want to call it that. There's a lot of people that are just existing. And I think there's far less people who are actually expecting.
Yeah.
Now, expectation is that of the heart, not of the mouth.
That's right.
So you can say all day long, I'm expecting, but God discerns the heart. Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we thank you for taking time out today to join us here under the fig tree. Before we get started, just want to run a couple of things by you. Don't forget, we are making this massive effort to migrate all of our episodes from the Living Waters YouTube page that
Yeah.
we started everything on to the Under the Fig Tree page. So we actually have our own channel right now for Under the Fig Tree. Makes it a little easier for everybody to find us. And
Yeah.
so right now, Bruce, everything's being posted to both pages right now, all the
Okay.
way through January 1.
Groovy.
January 1, we'll take everything off of the Living Waters page, and it'll be solely an Under the Fig Tree channel. So that means everybody that's already subscribed to the Living Waters channel should subscribe to the Under the Fig Tree channel. And for any
Right.
of our new listeners, if you're listening in for the first time or the second time or the 10th time, whatever it is, just do us a favor, hit the subscribe button.
Please.
And then also hit the notification bell so you'll know when a new episode drops. We really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So what are we doing today, Bruce?
Well, Troy, you know what? We're going to call this episode As It Was in the Days of Noah. Yeah.
I
As it
like it.
was in the days of Noah. For those Bible scholars out there, obviously you would probably know that we're going to come out of Matthew 24, probably start around 36. But Troy, I was I brought this up to you a little while ago, a few days ago, and we decided we would just, talk it out online as we normally do. Matthew 24, and I would even say Matthew 25 and a few other scriptures, God is highlighting to me right now. I believe that it's very prophetic. I believe what we're going to talk about today is very prophetic, but I also believe that we don't do really well. We, the body of Christ, I would go even a step further and say, the people who are called by his name, those that are churched, excuse me, those that are churched, those that, they believe in Jesus, they've accepted Jesus as their savior, but maybe they're not really pressing into living this life. They're not trying to get as close to Jesus as possible. I think that for those folk, whoever you are, this will be somewhat of a stark warning as well. Those are the things that I'm getting in my spirit. I could very easily, talk for an hour to Troy. I'm not going to do an hour-long intro. I'm going to do a 1 or 2 minute intro, and then, we're going to chop it up as we always do. But I believe, Troy, that we are in a time where people have been saying it forever. But I believe it still, and I believe it more so today than ever before, and that is that Jesus is very, 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 very soon to come.
Sure.
Jesus made a
Absolutely.
statement to the Pharisees and those folk back then, and he said, "You know what?" He said, "You guys can look in the sky and you can tell what the weather's going to be like today, but you don't understand. You have no discernment of the signs of the times."
That's right.
And I believe that Matthew 24, as it was in the days of Noah, that we're going to talk about, is very much a warning to the body of Christ and yet even to the world that Jesus is very soon to come. So I think that's how I'll open that up. That may sound a little heavy to people. It is. Let me just be clear. It is.
It is.
And some of the things that we may get to today, I can tell you right up front, there are people who probably aren't going to like it, and it's okay. It's all right. I said to you, Troy, right before we came on the air, I would much rather have people be upset with us for telling them the truth than to be upset with us when they stand before the judge, right?
Yeah, that's a
And
problem
he
there.
says, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Where they stand before the judge and they're banished to a place that wasn't even designed for them, and then they say, "But wait a minute, but Troy and Bruce, they never told me." You know what I'm saying? I would much rather have you mad because we tell you the truth on a podcast, because you can change the channel. You don't have to accept it, right? But we have to tell the truth.
Absolutely.
See how that works? No one has to accept it. You can change the channel like a television, but we have to tell you the truth. We're bound by
Absolutely.
God to tell you the truth, you know?
1,000%. So we're for anybody listening, we are likely not to go into full-blown eschatology today. Likely. I'm not saying we won't. I'm just saying likely. We're
Right,
likely not
right,
to
right,
do that.
right.
But when you are studying eschatology, it's important to take the apocalyptic prophetic books to go along with that. And when you're studying Matthew 24, you got to study Matthew 25 with it
You have to.
in order to get a good picture of what Jesus is actually talking about. So you don't study Matthew 24 in a vacuum by itself, but 25 goes with 24. Bruce, we got a class that we're doing, and this is a little side note here, and it does apply. Because the one thing we were telling folks in our class, there's some things you have to consider when you're studying the Bible. Most people that take this class and most people that's been studying with us for a while, they know my number one thing is you got to slow down. You got to slow way down. And you got to understand that this is not an American book. So you have to be able to look at it through the eyes of the people of the book, the people it was
Absolutely.
written to. Those are some things that you're going to have to take into account. The
Yeah.
other thing, speaking, to the point we're making, is the one thing that messes us up sometimes is supposed to be there as a help to us, but it actually jacks us up sometimes, is the original text wasn't written with chapters and verses.
That's right.
So a lot of times we finish chapter 24 and we're like, okay, now 25 is a totally new thought. Well, no, it's not.
No, right.
24 and 25 go together. And because of the way it's structured for us to make it easier to read, which I'm not saying it doesn't, it definitely makes it easier for us to read,
Yeah.
but it doesn't help us understand better, if that makes sense. It's
Well, it's
easier
a
for us to
break in the
read.
conversation.
It is. We think it is, and 24 and 25 go together.
Right.
And same thing with the verses. Okay, he's done in verse 7, and so in verse 8 he picks up, but no, there were no verses, none of that stuff. So that's one of the things I just had to throw that in there. So I'm pretty excited about this, so
Yeah, man. Yeah, why
you
don't we
wanted to
start
start.
off with I just want to read it. Let's
Yeah, let's go.
start in Matthew 24. I want to start in verse 36 and just read a little bit, right?
Let's go.
It says in verse 36, we're in Matthew 24, starting in verse 36, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows. I'm reading, I think I'm in the ESV for those who are following. Concerning that day and hour, no one knows. Even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. Verse 37. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wow, power packed. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Good God Almighty. That's power packed, man. That's power packed.
Listen, because like I said, I'm not going to get into full blown eschatology.
I
We're
dare
not
you.
going
I
to,
dare
yeah,
you.
I know, right?
I dare you.
But there is something that we got to look at here, you know. And I'm Bruce, I'm gonna try not to.
Go for it, man.
I'm just
Let's talk it out.
I'll tell you what, I'll just throw it out there and then allow the people to have some time to marinate and study it for themselves.
Okay.
It says here, but as in the days, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's in verse 37.
Yeah.
So when you look at that word, coming of the Son of Man, that phrase, the coming of the Son, that word's parousia.
Okay.
You could say parousia, but it's not parousia. Parousia, it's a Greek word. I would challenge people to study what the parousia is, and it will rock your mind when it comes to what this returning is actually going to look like. So I just throw that out there, just as a little nugget, and now we can proceed.
Well, verse 40 says, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Can I stop there for a minute? I
You
want to
should.
deal with something just for a quick minute. The Lord showed me this several years ago, a couple few years ago, I would say, when what we know today as woke culture started getting steam, when it was introduced, the advent of what we know as woke culture. And this is what I believe I heard the Lord say. Every time I send a message or I send a warning or I point my people to something, right? Because I remember, Troy, that there was a moment where a few believers caught that God, in that same time frame, that the world turned it into woke culture and that became a thing. The Lord was saying to the church at that time, I remember it like it was yesterday. He was saying, "Awake, awake, awake unto righteousness. Awake." Oh, I remember it like it was yesterday, man. And the church as a whole didn't catch it. And the world then catches it, right? Because the enemy heard it and then got some humans in the world, and they turned it into woke culture. So I just wanted to throw that in there, side note, right?
I like
Because
that.
it has happened over and over and over, and it is happening right now in several different ways. It's happening right now where God says something to the church doesn't get it or doesn't respond in kind, and the world picks it up. The enemy convinces human beings to twist it, and it becomes something else, right?
Happens a lot.
It happens a lot, man. And so, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
Yeah, so I wanted to say that out of verse 43. I want to read 44. I'm going to do a little bit of reading, and then I'm going to shut up and let you talk. Verse 43 says, "But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Verse 47, "Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself," this is what I want to get to, "that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed.'" This is where a lot of people are today. "My
Yes, sir.
master is delayed," and begins to beat his fellow servants. Oh boy. The Lord told us some years ago that there would be civil war in the church, but that it wouldn't be very civil.
Yes, sir.
Okay. They began to beat their fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards. Wow. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. Listen to verse 51. And he will cut him in pieces and put him with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's heavy.
Very much so.
That's heavy.
Where do we need to start dissecting this? There's so much here. So here you go. All right, Bruce. I'm going to say this. People need to recognize Old Testament is still very valid.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Very valid. And I'm going to explain to you why the Old Testament is very valid. You don't have to take my word for it. What Bruce just read to you is out of the Old Testament. New Testament didn't start until after the resurrection.
That's right.
So most of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is still Old Testament.
That's right.
Until after the resurrection, that begins the New Testament.
That's right.
Now, I know we categorize Matthew, Mark, Luke, John as New Testament books. They kind of are. Part of them are, but a lot of them aren't. So Old Testament is still relevant. And when Jesus speaks, Jesus is typically pointing back to the Old Testament.
Yes.
The he'll make almost like flashback references.
Yep.
And what you have to do is you have to look at what he's saying and find the reference in the Old Testament of what he's actually saying.
That's right.
And things just start to make a lot more sense, right?
Yeah.
In this passage, what I love about this is we don't even have to flash back too far, right?
That's right.
Look at verse 49. It's talking about the guy, the evil servant that says his master is delayed, right?
Yep.
And it says, look, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and do what?
Eat, drink with drunkards.
Okay. So go back up to verse 38. It's not even that far. For as in the days before the flood, they were doing what?
Eating and drinking.
All right, there we go. You see what I mean?
Marrying
It's
and giving in marriage.
they're partying. They
Partying.
were cutting the fool, as some of us would say. You know, there's just so much here that we could probably do like seven podcasts,
We could.
and we probably wouldn't exhaust it all. And I'm trying not to get our listeners and viewers to drink from the fire hose, right?
Yeah.
But there's just so much here. The main thing we want to focus on, at least in my estimation, Bruce, correct me if I'm wrong, the main thing we want to focus on is this one guy that's talking about the delaying of the coming. But well,
Yes, sir.
you guys been telling me for 45 years that Jesus is soon to return.
Yes, sir.
Well, you've been telling me for 55 years Jesus is soon to return. You've been telling me for the last 100 years Jesus is soon to return,
Yes, sir.
and he's still not here. Right? So why don't I just keep doing what I was doing,
Right.
which is a
Yeah,
very
no,
dangerous
for sure.
mentality.
For sure.
And I'm looking at this, and you look at the ones that are faithful and say, you know, if I don't see it in my lifetime, it's still going to happen.
Right.
Right?
That's right.
In fact, our Bible tells us that we are to walk by,
Faith.
so I don't need to see it
That's right.
to know that it's going to happen.
That's
The
exactly
only
right,
thing I
Troy.
need to know that it's going to happen is he said it would. It's the only thing I need. In fact, that's the crazy thing about faith. Faith, when you look at the definition of faith is not logical whatsoever.
It's not. And look at how many people died in faith.
Absolutely.
They died
Absolutely.
believing.
They died believing.
That's
And it was
right.
so important that God named them.
Yep.
He named them in passage, this guy and this guy, Abram, and then there was Noah, and then he just that it was in Hebrews 11. He just starts a roll
He
call
just
right there.
starts a roll call.
Because they and then he says many died not receiving the promise. So it wasn't just
Right.
those, it was a lot of people
There was a
who,
lot
like you
of people.
said, died believing.
This is an important point, Troy, in 2025, because this is someone called it some years ago the microwave generation, the microwave culture, right? And
Correct.
that mentality you can find all through, I'll just say the church. You know what I'm saying? Where people try to apply the hurry up and show me, hurry up and manifest, God. God, I'm going to ask you for something today. I would really like to have it manifested before the day is out. That mentality. And so this is a great place to hang out for a minute, man, because I think it speaks very strongly to this generation that we're living in, this time that we're living in, because so many people, the one of the first things that you said when we started talking just a minute or two ago was about slowing down.
Yes, sir.
And this is something that my hope and my prayer is that the people of God will begin to slow down and begin to say, wait a minute, let me stop for a minute and let me really pay attention and let me ask God, what is he really saying to me and what is he really doing? And let me stop long enough to take a look and not just run from the next thing to the next thing to the next thing to the next conference to the next to the
Oh, man.
look, I'll put it out there, man. Eat to the next Sunday morning service, you know what I'm saying? To the next this, to the next that. We know that it's not by works.
Correct.
We know that it's by relationship.
Correct.
And the one thing that we cannot do is dictate to God how to do anything for us, to us, with us,
No.
through us, etc.
No, not going to happen.
You know what I'm saying? So this is a great place to hang out, man. My master is delayed.
Yeah, like you said, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. This is the one of the biggest issues with the hurry up thing is the Bible talks to us about patience. It
Yes,
says that if you
absolutely.
let patience have its perfect work, the promise to that is you will lack nothing.
You
You
will
won't be
lack
missing anything.
nothing.
So hurrying up and hurrying up and hurrying up and always being in a hurry like that, it actually invites lack into your life.
That's exactly right, Troy.
Because if you let patience have its perfect work, you won't lack anything,
That's
right?
exactly right.
But if you deny patience, you leave pockets open for lack to be invited in.
And when that lack is invited in, then you get down.
Yeah, man.
You feel bad.
This is what was the Bible say that hope deferred, that's what
Hope
happens.
deferred,
Yeah.
exactly.
It
And
makes the
that's
heart
simply
sick.
because you're not on God's timing.
Yeah, man.
You're not on his schedule. You really want him to be on your schedule.
Yep.
And I'm talking to all of us. All of us have been there at some point
Guilty.
in time, you know what I'm saying?
Guilty.
And there's times now, right now, man, where, I may say jokingly to the Lord, right? Lord, I know you're probably not going to do this for a while. You know what I'm saying? I wish you would, but I've learned now, and so it's funny now because, after a while you learn to stay in faith.
Correct.
You learn to stay in faith no matter what. You learn to stay in faith even when it looks like the opposite of the thing you asked for happens.
Yeah, man. That's you know what?
You know what I'm saying? You
Like you
learn to
start
stay
praying
there,
about
man.
something and it starts getting worse.
Yeah,
Like,
man.
wait a minute. I
Yeah, like
already released my
wait.
faith when I play and it's getting worse.
It's getting
Yeah.
worse. Yeah.
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 Yeah, that's a very real place.
My master is delayed.
Yeah.
Verse 48. My master is delayed. We could almost say like this. As the master appears to be delayed, what are you going to do?
Oh
How are you going
boy.
to live? How are you going to be while your master is delayed?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I think we
This is
got to
good
talk
stuff
about it,
already.
man.
It's good stuff already.
I think we got to talk about it, man, because there's some real comparisons. And then the other thing, Troy, I don't know that we've gotten all the juice out of that yet, but the other thing, and it's still in this set of scriptures that I just read, that stuck out to me is his coming. His coming will be that nobody will know exactly when. But I love the fact that even though we may not know the exact date, the exact time, we can look up right? We can look up. We can look inward, per se, right? We can say, Holy Spirit, you're doing something. Something is happening.
Amen.
We can look at the world and what's happening in the world, right? We can, and if you're really good, you can look at, what's happening in the world and then go find it in scripture if you're really diligent. You know what I'm
Yes,
saying?
sir. Oh, yeah.
You're really diligent. You can do that as well. So it's not like for the true believer, and I'm gonna use that term, I'm not, anyway, for the true believer, the person that's really, really trying to follow God the best they can. The Bible says that we ought to work out our own soul salvation, Troy, with fear and trembling. I
Correct.
will tell you personally, I don't have time. I'm on social media just like almost everybody. But you know what, man? I don't have time to follow a whole bunch of stories. I don't have
No,
time
sir.
to follow a whole bunch of people's other stuff that people got going on in their life. Not that I don't care, but dude, I'm trying to work out my own soul salvation with fear and trembling. You know what I'm saying?
I'm 100% with you, man. This is the nobody knows the time. Like you said, the scripture is very clear about that. You know, we just had that incident this past week
Yeah.
where somebody proclaimed to know the time or the day.
Yeah.
In fact, it says nobody knows the day or the time
Yeah.
somewhere else in the passage, but or in scripture it says that. So it's not even the time. You don't know the day or the time,
Nope.
and people are coming up with all this stuff. But either way, what I tell people, and the main thing is this: do I need to know the day? And do I need to know the time? He doesn't need me to know. What he needs me to do is be ready.
What he needs us to
That's
do is be ready.
it.
That's
Just be
it.
ready.
That's
So it
it.
doesn't, if you're ready, it doesn't matter the day or the time. Just be ready.
Just be ready. And of course, that's Matthew 25. We'll get there. We'll get there. We won't rush it, but we'll get there. That's Matthew 25 all day. You know what I'm
Yes,
saying?
sir.
So it's all connected, man.
It
What
is all
else?
connected. Yeah, we're going to, matter of fact, when we get to Matthew 25, don't let me forget, we're going to punch back to way back in the Old Testament, but
Yeah.
it'll be cool. Yeah,
Awesome.
where else did you want to go, Bruce?
Oh, you're waiting on me. Okay.
Yes,
Well,
sir.
I want to touch something, Troy. And what I'm going to do is, you see how I'm giving myself when I edit an opportunity to have it as a separate section just in case we need to edit. One of the things that I believe the Lord is pointing the church at as well has to do with what the Bible says, specifically the New Testament says about Sodom and Gomorrah.
Okay.
I want to read something. It's in Jude. I'll start in verse 5. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, I want to make a point that both are mentioned there. Sexual immorality and the pursuit of unnatural desire serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. I'm just sharing and talking out, Troy, the things that the Lord has been pointing me to over the last couple of months, okay?
Okay.
Luke 10:12, I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. These are mentions of Sodom and Gomorrah in the New Testament. I believe that where we are today is a combination of Matthew 24, right? Jude, Luke 10:12, Luke 17. But on that day when Lot went out from Sodom, fire and sulfur rained from heaven and destroyed them all. Matthew 11:24, but I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. Romans 9:29, and as Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, we would have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. He's pointing to something, Troy.
Yes.
Matthew 10:15, truly I say to you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for that town. I read that already. And then Revelation is interesting, and their dead bodies will lie in the streets of the great city that symbolically is called Sodom and Egypt, where their Lord was crucified. I believe that we are in a dynamic right now, man, that crosses, as I said, Matthew 24, talking about the days of Noah, and that crosses those scriptures that I just read, and that also crosses Matthew 25, which is a continuation of the conversation in Matthew 24. But Matthew 25, he makes it really, really nice and plain. He paints a really nice picture talking about these 10 virgins, right? And Troy, one of the things that the Lord showed me, I'm a numbers guy. Some people don't get into biblical numerology, is what they call it. I just like studying numbers as they appear in the Bible. I believe
Correct.
that some numbers have very, very much are very much significant in the Bible, right?
Sure.
Per God, deciding that they were, not because of us, right? And so one of those numbers that most people that have been in the body or around the body for a little while are familiar with is the number five, right? When I ask someone, what does the number five mean to you biblically, almost without fail, people will say, what?
Grace.
Grace. And they're not wrong, right? Five is known as the number of grace. But the Lord said to me one day, He said, five also carries five carries, let me say it the way if I can say it the way he gave me, five carries with it a valley of decision component or dynamic. And I had never seen that before he said it. And then he took me to Matthew 25 and showed me the five virgins and the five virgins. Five were foolish, ill prepared. Five were wise and stayed prepared. When you hear people talk about Matthew 25, I've heard folks say, about trimming the lamp, trimming the lamp with oil, keeping your oil flowing. That preaches really well. I'm not even poking fun at it. It preaches well. Keep your lamp trimmed, right? But it's so much bigger than that. The point that's being made there in Matthew 25 about the five foolish virgins and the five wise virgins is so much bigger than just oil. Because people
Correct.
think oil is just talking about anointing, right?
No.
But yeah, it's bigger than that, man. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. There's preparation involved. There's expectation involved, right? So there's five that we're expecting. And
There's five
then
that
there
we're
were,
expecting, exactly.
and then there's five that were just existing.
Oh boy, say that
Right?
again for those in the
Yeah.
back.
Yeah, there's five that we're expecting, then there were five that were just existing. In
Man.
this life that we have, there's a lot of people who are just existing in this Christendom, if you want to call it that. There's a lot of people that are just existing. And I think there's far less people who are actually expecting.
Yeah.
Now, expectation is that of the heart, not of the mouth.
That's right.
So you can say all day long, I'm expecting, but God discerns the heart.
That's exactly right,
So are
man.
you really expecting, right? Or are you just saying, what I like about this, Bruce, is because, oh my goodness, when you go through all this scripture, you get all kind of Old Testament flashbacks, stuff like that, you know, right?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at this. I think you started where, four or five? Let me see.
In Matthew 25?
I'm sorry, it was in Jude. It was
In
in
Jude.
five,
Yeah,
wasn't
I started at 5 in Jude.
it? Let me see if I, well, if I can't get there, can you read that real quick?
Yeah, verse 5. Now I want to remind you, although you once were full, I'm sorry, let me start again. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe.
So it's pointing to Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, eventually it gets to that, but it says that Jesus is having saved the people out of
The
Egypt.
land of Egypt, yeah.
Okay, Egypt is a picture of the bondage of sin, right? So Jesus saved those who were in the bondage of sin. Is that
Yes.
fair to say? And afterwards, he did what?
Destroyed those who did not believe.
See what this thing boils down to?
Well, it deals with once saved, always saved also.
Absolutely.
That
Absolutely.
one verse deals with once saved, always saved. Knocks it
Absolutely.
completely out of the boat.
It does, as it would with many other passages, but this one just punches it right in the mouth,
It does.
right? Did not believe. Did not believe, did not believe. The destruction came to those who didn't believe, not the ones who said the right things or professed the right thing, but the ones that did. Again, belief is of the heart, not of the
That's right.
mouth,
That's
right?
right.
Out of the mouth will come what's in your heart, but it's got to be in your heart first,
It has to be in your heart first, man.
right? So the destruction comes to those who did not believe. Now, I need to let me see if I can get to Jude, because you don't mind if we walk through some stuff real
Yeah,
quick.
no, let's do it, man.
I got it.
It's heavy, y'all, but it's the word of God.
So it says here, Bruce, it says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own habitation, right?
Yeah.
Just talking about those watchers who came down and did what they did, right? But okay, he has reserved everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day, right? All
Yes.
right, so the angels who did not keep their proper domain, the place where they were supposed to live. Now, look what it says. It says domain and it says habitation.
Right.
Wouldn't they be the same thing? So the domain is where they were supposed to be. But when you go back and look at the word for habitation, it's what they were supposed to live in. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
They gave up that body that they were supposed to live in and took on something else that they weren't supposed to be in.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Yeah, and
Yeah.
this is, I
Same.
know it sounds weird and all this kind of whatever. Just telling you what happened, okay?
Yeah.
There's two different words there. You know, there's domain, there's habitation. Well, what habitation, it should be the same thing. No, it's not the same thing.
Well, this, if I may interject, you see that again in and this is just a squirrel moment. You see that again in Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide.
Abide.
So, it's a form of writing that was certainly used, right,
Yeah,
to
man.
really make the point. Dwell and abide are not exactly the same, at least not in that scripture.
They
So
are not.
yeah, so
They are
that
not.
makes sense.
So I mean, just looking at that, there's a lot going on here that a lot of times we're just not aware of. I think when you look at that Greek word for habitation, I believe it's of the body. I believe that's what the definition is. A dwelling place for the spirit of the body, a dwelling place. So they had a body that a spirit was supposed to dwell in, some type of body, probably not the same type of body, you know, but it's interesting when you look at this. So there's a lot of moving parts and pieces that go to this. And anytime you start doing studies about angels and all this kind of stuff, there's just some things that stick out, right? Or it should stick out. Is that fair? It should stick out. There is a difference between heavenly beings and angels. So are all angels heavenly beings? Yes. But are all heavenly beings angels? No. Angel simply means messenger, right? It means
Right.
messenger. And when you see angels in the Bible, we have this depiction of these large giant creatures with wings and stuff like that. Well, those are certain types of heavenly beings.
Right.
But when you see angels depicted in the Bible, they usually have the form of a human being.
That's right.
Not only that, Bruce, but they also travel in pairs.
Yep.
If you notice,
Yep. Yep,
they
yep.
all, you know, and I'm looking at this story when you understand they travel in pairs and they look like humans, right? It's interesting that in Jude, and it's interesting that when Jesus is talking about this stuff, he's applying Sodom and Gomorrah to it.
Yeah.
There were two angels
Yeah.
in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the men of the city, that horrible city, wanted the bodies of these two men.
Yes.
That's what they saw. They saw two men. We ain't never seen these men before. Give us those men.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Right.
It's like the weirdest thing. There's a lot of sexual perversion that goes in with that story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and a lot of times we get stuck and locked in on that's why Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. It was destroyed for more than just that.
That's right.
But that was a big deal.
That was a big deal.
It was a big deal. They weren't hospitable, obviously, because Noah gave up his daughters instead of, anyway.
Mean Lot.
So, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, Lot gave up his daughters instead of, you know, giving them the angels or those men. It's a lot that goes there. There's tons that were going wrong with Sodom and Gomorrah. And if we get stuck on just the homosexuality thing, then we're going to lose sight of what we're actually doing now.
Well, and that's why I mentioned Troy, in if you look at verse 7, it says that they indulge in sexual immorality
Correct.
and pursued unnatural desire, which would be specifically the homosexuality part. But I remember having explained this to a young man that years ago, that was struggling a little bit, with some things. And I said, and I apologized to him on behalf of the church. I said, the church has done a horrible job only pointing at the homosexuality.
Correct. Correct.
Sexual immorality is heterosexual, sexual immorality, you know what I'm saying? It's homosexual, sexual immorality, it's lesbian, whatever, it's so, and all of a sudden his eyes opened. He was like, oh man, I never saw it that way. I said, if you say that you believe in Jesus, you got to stay out of bed with everybody. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter. You
If
don't
it's
get no
not your
breaks.
spouse,
You don't get no breaks one way or the other. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
man.
And the light came on, man. And now that dude is doing great, man, married, and it's a great story. He got a great testimony, but God allowed me to help him, when the light came on. But it says specifically in verse 7, they indulged in sexual immorality. That can be assumed that heterosexual immorality was in there as well. And then
Absolutely.
it says, and they pursued unnatural desire. And I
Yep,
think that's
gone after
something that's
strange
worth
flesh.
pointing out, man, because the church has not done a great job, you know what I'm saying, dealing with the heterosexual jokers that sing on the choir, that lead intercession, that play instruments, that preach, come on,
Yeah,
that
man.
stand behind the podium and preach, right? And everybody want to just focus on that one thing, just to help you make your point.
No, it's a lot more that goes into that Greek umbrella term porneia. There's a lot that goes underneath that, a ton of stuff that goes underneath that. So, yeah, this is cool stuff, man. So I didn't want to necessarily get to this, Bruce. I had alluded to it earlier, but kind of feel a tug
Yeah.
to talk about it just a little bit. The coming of Jesus, the parousia,
Yeah. Come on, let's
parousia,
do it.
the parousia. Parousia, parousia. So you'll see that word several times in scripture. One of the main places that we see it is in 1 Thessalonians when it talks about what we are alluding to is what the church calls the rapture, right?
Right.
That the dead in Christ will rise first, and we that remain will be caught up to meet him in the air, which is absolutely going to happen. So before you start sending a bunch of emails, like he doesn't believe that's going to, no, we believe that's going to happen. We believe that's going to happen. Here's the thing, though. Okay. We'll be caught up to meet him in the air and go where?
I'm glad you're dealing with that and not me. Keep talking.
Yeah. Yeah, let him stone me,
Let
right?
him stone you.
Yeah. Now, when I've asked that question in settings, people say, well, go to heaven. I'm like, well, the text doesn't say that.
It's an assumption.
So
It's a
it is an
huge
assumption
assumption.
that you're making,
It
right?
is.
So again, going back to that word, because these words do matter.
Yep.
Parousia. What was parousia? Well, a lot of times you would see parousia would come through after natural disasters and stuff like that. So let me share with you what the parousia was. The parousia was the visitation of an emperor. And incidentally, at the time where Paul wrote this in Thessalonians was
Yeah.
shortly after they had a major incident.
Right.
Okay, so either way, what would happen is, say, for instance, there was a massive earthquake and everything got destroyed in a certain region. Well, that's still part of the emperor's empire. He doesn't want it all jacked up. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a bunch of resources. I'm going to send you some resources. And with these resources, I want you to rebuild. Right? Now,
Yeah.
here's the deal. At some point in time, as the emperor, I want to see what you did.
Yep.
You just don't know when it's going to happen.
Exactly.
Sounds familiar, right?
It does.
Already sounds familiar. You don't know when it's going to happen, but I do want to come and inspect to see what you did. And so what you would do, say for instance, Bruce, you were the leader of that city that's being
Right.
rebuilt. Your job is to make sure you didn't get caught off guard.
Right.
So the emperor would come, and incidentally, he would usually travel with a large army. Imagine that. It's all sounding familiar, right?
It
He
is.
would travel with a large army and they would show up. A lot of times there'd be a loud shout or something like it's all this stuff is sounding real familiar.
It
There'd
sounds
be a
real familiar.
loud shout or something like that, but then you would also have people on the walls that would wait and they'd be watching.
Yep.
And when they saw him come from afar off, they would alert that leader of the city because the last thing you would want is for him to come banging on the door of your city, your city gates, and you're not ready.
Right.
Your job was to be ready. Your
Yes.
job wasn't to anticipate when he was coming. Your job was just to be ready for when he came. Now, what you were supposed to do, because you got the alarm that he was coming from afar off, you wouldn't let him get to the door. What you would do is you would go out to meet him.
Right.
Makes sense, right? And when you would go out to meet him, what you would do is you would grab him somewhat by the arm or the hand or something like that, and you would bring him back and say, with all the resources you gave me, this is how I extended your empire.
Yes.
Imagine that.
Imagine that.
So the dead in Christ will rise first, and those that remain will be called up to do what?
Meet him.
Meet him. So we're meeting him. Which way would he be coming? He would be coming down,
Right.
which means if we had to meet him, we'd be going
Up.
so we would be caught up to meet him coming down.
Yeah.
Now, people like, okay, I get it. Maybe I get that, but what would happen then? Well, there's supposed to be this massive barbecue of this earth where everything gets burned up.
Yeah.
Why you hate this world and the things of this world? Don't be tied to the things of this world. Why? Because it's all gonna get burned up.
Because you're all gonna get burned up, man.
Your house, your church, your job, your business, all of it's gonna get burned up at some point. And when it's
Ooh, your
well,
works, your
your
some of your
work,
works.
everything's gonna get burned up.
Oh,
Everything's gonna get burned up
oi,
because he's not gonna do it by water this time. It's gonna be by fire.
oi,
And so we'll meet him. I believe that's when everything gets burned up. And it's renewed, and then he
yeah,
puts us right back where we came from. Now, some would say, well, no, we're supposed to go to heaven. Okay, I'm not saying that you can't go back and forth to heaven, but if you flip to the back of this book, the book does not end with us in heaven, it ends with us here on the new earth.
That's exactly right. And the scripture you've been referencing, doesn't it finish out by saying, and we will be with him? We're caught up to meet him, and then we'll be with him
And there
forever.
we will be with him forever. Yeah.
So it doesn't say anything about him coming down, catching us, turning around and going back. He's
It
coming
doesn't.
down to rule and reign, isn't he?
Yes,
Should
he is.
isn't there somewhere in there something about, I don't know, call me crazy, but about him going through the East Gate?
Yes, sir.
You know what I'm saying? About his foot touching the Mount of Olives? Isn't that
Yes,
in there
sir.
somewhere?
It's in
About
there.
him taking his rightful place on the throne? Isn't that in there somewhere?
Yep. And he'll rule from here, and we'll rule with him.
Well, wouldn't that be when he comes down
Down.
and we go up to meet him in the air? He ain't turning around because he just got here and his feet ain't touched. You know what I'm saying? If we
I
just
got you. I got you. I'm with you,
read it,
brother.
man.
I'm with you.
If we just read it, yo.
I'm with you. This is all, like I said before, this is all cool stuff. This is stuff that's to come, but here's the deal. We did talk about this as it was in the days of Noah.
As it was in the days of Noah, man. I would take this opportunity, man, to just give a strong admonishment, a strong suggestion, a strong encouragement to all who are called by the name of the Lord. Jesus is coming back and he's coming back soon. If you can't tell that by just simply looking around you, if you can't tell that by what you're feeling on the inside, just know that there are people praying for you. That's all I'll say. Just know that there are people, God has intercessors praying for you right now, because the truth of the matter is that you should feel, remember when Jesus came back from the grave and he was walking with a couple of the disciples, and when he finally split off, they said, "Did not our hearts burn within us?"
Burn.
There should be a burning that's beginning to go on in the hearts of the people of God, man. Jesus is coming back and he's coming back soon. So I just want to make that encouragement, man, before we close out this podcast, right? You know, I could very easily, Troy, get into the things that God is showing me out of Ezekiel 3. I'm gonna put that out there because I know that there's some people who will go and read it. Ezekiel 3, chapter 3, and also Ezekiel chapter 33. Especially those that are prophetic or called to the office of the prophet, because there's some very similar talk in there to what we talked about today, and it has to do with being ready, being prepared, right? And for some of us, it has to do with making the declaration when he says, make the declaration. You know what I'm saying? Make the declaration when I say, make the declaration, and don't be afraid of their faces, and don't be shy about it. When I release you to open your mouth and say what I tell you to say, then make sure you say it, because if you don't say it, they'll die in their sin, but I'll hold it against you because you were timid about saying what I told you to say. For me, as a prophetic person, all of these things are connected. We're living in the days of Noah. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that there's not a whole lot left that needs to happen prophetically, according to what the scriptures say, for Jesus to come back and burst the eastern sky. According to the word of God, you know, it ain't gonna be like just one or two. Everybody will know and everybody will see.
Correct.
And the Bible says that, hey, you can, let me say it in 2025 language, you can bow willingly now or you can bow later. You can bend the knee now, you know what I'm saying? You know, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, or you can do it later. But guess what? Everybody's going to do it. You
Yeah,
know,
man.
everybody's going to do it.
That's the bottom line. Seriously, people, you have to listen to what's happening. You have to watch what's happening. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be before the Son of Man returns. In the days of Noah, there was all kind of wickedness going on, and people had an opportunity to choose God, and they chose wickedness continually, is what the Bible says. The
Continually.
earth was filled with violence, and it even says the earth itself was polluted. The earth itself was polluted, and I'm like, you gotta see what's going on here. You
Yeah,
gotta
man.
be able to see what's going on here.
And can I say this, Troy? God, and he won't care about your political party.
No, he won't.
He won't, man.
No, he won't.
He won't care about your stance. He won't care. I've said this to some people and had them look at me real weird, and then we just stared at each other awkwardly until one of us walked away, right? God doesn't care about your opinion as much as you think he does.
Well, that's the truth.
I'll say it again. I will. God doesn't care about, I know this hurts. I'll say our this time, right? Because we're included. God does not care about our opinion as much as we might want to think that he does. And God forbid you should have an opinion on something and assume, you know what we say about assuming. I won't say it on the podcast. Assume that you have the heart of God. You know what I'm saying? But it's dealing with your political bent or your social bent. You know what I'm saying? Or this bent or that bent. God is not going to care about any of that stuff.
No.
He's going to ask, where are you and I in our relationship? As a matter of fact, he's not going to ask, he's going to tell, this is where you and I are in our relationship. Existent, come on in. Non-existent, depart from me.
Correct. Real simple, right?
Yeah. I know it sounds evangelical, and I mean for it to sound evangelical right now. You know what I'm saying? What we're saying sounds somewhat evangelical. You just got to sometimes say things right straight, with no chaser, as they say, right?
There's nothing wrong with that.
Jesus is coming back. I say Jesus is coming back. I
Well.
say Jesus is coming back. And he's coming back for a church without what?
Without spot
Spot
or wrinkle.
or wrinkle. And every one
That's
of
right.
us has to work it out. Every one of us will be responsible for what we did. Oh, can I say this? What did we do with our salvation?
Wait a minute. You mean we have to steward our salvation? Is that what
Oh, we
you?
gotta steward our salvation. I heard somebody say this a long time ago, Troy. Salvation was free. Everything else is gonna cost you. It costs to walk with
It
God.
does. It
It
does.
costs friends. Sometimes it costs loved ones who don't understand, the way you walk your walk. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it costs jobs,
Yes, sir.
Sometimes it costs businesses. Sometimes God will let you start from zero. Look, for all of you who might be brand new coming into the kingdom, don't worry about it. If God take you to zero, it's okay. He's just wiping away an old foundation so that he can build an eternal foundation inside of you.
And it will be fine if you let him do that. It
And
will
it
work
will
out
be
well for
fine
you.
if you let him do it.
It'll work out well. This stuff that we experience here in the earth is very, very temporary.
Very
Very
temporary.
temporary.
But that's my admonishment, man.
I'm with you, man. This is one of the things that I believe we really do need in this day and time, take this stuff extremely serious. Again, I've said this before. I don't know if I've ever said this on the podcast. If you have a hard time understanding eschatology, if you have a hard time, especially with the book of Revelation, just open the book and turn on the news and follow along.
That's wonderful.
Playing out in
Great
front of you right
advice.
now.
Great
Yeah,
advice.
it's playing out right in front
It's
of you.
playing out right now.
This old, antiquated, outdated book is still playing out right in front of us. So there's no way it's old. There's no way it's antiquated. It's very valid.
Very
It's
valid.
very real. It is the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
It is the Word of God. And we need to take heed of this. The things that God said would happen will happen. Why do we know that's true? Because God is who He said He is, and He will do what He said He would do.
That's exactly right.
It's that simple, man. So this is fun for me. We probably. I think somebody asked us to do something on eschatology. So if you ask, if I'm not mistaken, is our good brother Joshua Greer. I believe
Okay.
Josh Greer asked us one time to do something on eschatology. Josh, I know this is not exhaustive, but you're welcome. Either way, I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we thank you so much for joining us here under the fig tree.